there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by one of the best in the biz, Pat Fitzmorris, at Fitz underscore FF Fitzy. We're going to be talking wide receivers today, but how is your weekend going, and how do you like those playoffs?
Weekend is going well, Boggs. I mean, we got some good football, like Giants-Eagles was a blowout, and, you know, that was a little frustrating. I didn't have a very good betting day on Sunday, but, you know, I'm pretty excited about the conference championship matchups. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good weekend.
I mean, the Niners and Eagles game is going to be so much fun. I don't know what we're going to get out of the Chiefs Bengals game, because if Mahomes is still really banged up, and that looked like a high ankle sprain, you know, it's one of those things where you can go out and play on adrenaline right after it happened, but how big is that ankle going to swell up, and how nasty is it going to look come Sunday? Will be interesting to see. I mean, obviously I will be rooting for the Chiefs. I cannot root for the Bengals. My Steelers blood will not let me do that. So on the other side, I don't really care. I mean, I would prefer the Niners not match the Steelers in Super Bowl. So fly Eagle fly. But, you know, I don't really have that much of a rooting interest. I would say right now the Eagles look like the team to beat. Who would you pick out of the group?
I would also say the Eagles. I think they have the best chance to win the Super Bowl. Although it's interesting that, like, to see the four teams grouped so closely together as far as their championship odds right now, you don't typically see that when you get down to the final four, Bog. So
there's usually an odd man out, and there just isn't this year.
Right. And, you know, I feel like the Eagles probably have the fewest weaknesses of all the teams left. Chiefs Bengals will be interesting. And like you said, Bogman, like, people are looking at that Mahomes injury and really, like, scrutinizing that. And it's moving the point spread towards the Bengals. And they've kind of already forgotten that the Bengals are down three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and it didn't matter for them against the Bills. And maybe the snow played into that.
That was so weird. I thought it really would have, but it didn't at all. So, you know, just the way it goes, I guess, you know. And it could, the Bengals line has been so bad the whole year, it might be addition by subtraction right now.
Maybe.
It's unbelievable.
Maybe.
Yeah, just, I think, if I'm betting right now, I think I'm taking the Eagles because of the strength on the line on both sides, the offensive and defensive line. I mean, they drafted Jordan Davis to clog the middle, and they can't get Javon Hargrave off the field. Like, the depth along that defensive line is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but the pass rush is incredible.
Josh Sweat has been so good. Hassan Reddick had a huge game.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's tough to stop. And then they just grade on the offensive side. They just run people over. So, but tough matchup against the Niners, though. Can't take anything away from them. They've been great.
No.
Purdy, you keep Purdy clean, and he's completing the pass. 15 of 17 in a clean pocket last week. Just unbelievable stuff from the Niners too. So anyway, we can talk about that. We could do a whole hour on the playoffs, but let's get in to some of these wide receiver rankings. And we're going to start at the top and work our way down here and talk about our differences, of course, just like we did last week. But let's give an overarching view of the wide receivers from a dynasty context here, Fitzy, because, you know, ranking these wide receivers so much harder than ranking the running backs, in my opinion, because a lot of these guys you're getting down to splitting hairs with. There's a lot of wide receiver talent in the NFL right now. More and more is coming in every single year. We kind of talked about this off air, Fitz, that from the high school level, I think wide receiver is probably the second or third position usually filled out by the best athlete on the field. First is quarterback. Next is defensive end, edge rushers to put pressure on. And then after that, it's, you know, wideouts. You put your best athletes out there. More and more teams starting from the lower levels, passing more and more every single year. A lot of air raid heavy in college. We're getting it in the NFL more every single day. So instead of having, you know, two running backs on every team that might be dominant, it's usually one running back, and now it's more looking like two wide receivers. A lot of combos in the top 20 as well. A lot of wide receiver combos in the top 20. But Fitz, it just seemed to me harder to rank in bigger tiers among wideouts.
Yeah, we were talking about how some of the tiers break down, Boggs, and I think both of us have the same top three, and that's kind of the super duper star tier.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I think there's like another star tier below that that goes from four to about 20 or so.
Yes.
And then after that, like another, you know, I don't know, 11 to 15 guys who, you know, could join that star tier, but maybe it's very early in their career. Maybe they don't have the quarterback situation just
some
right
of those guys are late in their career too, you know, where, yeah, you know, they're going to start ticking down. So yeah, man. And then beyond that, beyond those like two top tiers, I don't know, man. It's not dart throwing, but it's very situational. It's very, you know, quarterback related. And you can see some of those guys beyond that tier jumping in to that third tier, right? Like, I don't know. There's just so much talent. It's kind of hard to parse. So I feel like where we were more argumentative in the running back show, it's going to be more of, I get it. You know, like, I get why you would put this guy high, why I would have him a little bit lower. I think it's more of it's more forgiving because they are harder to rank. Would you say that?
I think there will be some of that, Boggs, but I do see a few arguments in our future. So, okay. You know, we don't want to disappoint our listeners with too agreeable of a show. And,
of course.
You know, there's definitely going to be some butting of heads at some point. So
yeah,
I'll promise that.
looking forward to that for sure. Well, let's start with it. Fitzy, let's just go roll through your top 12 wide receiver rankings for Dynasty as it stands right now. One more caveat. I do need to add, you know, last week we added in Bijan and Gibbs. We're not adding any rookie wide receivers right now. It's just the team context is too important to wide receivers because, like we said last week, every wide receiver is connected to their quarterback. There are wide receivers that are QB proof. We will talk about some of them, I'm sure, today, but most are going to really depend on who the QB is.
All right, so Boggs, I don't think we differ at all on our top three. For me, it's Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. And then rounding out the top 12, I've got A.J. Brown at number four, Jaylen Waddle, T. Higgins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams.
For me, like you said, one, two, three, Jefferson, Chase, Lamb. Tyreek Hill is my number four. Then I have A.J. Brown at five, Amon-Ra at six, Kupp at seven, Diggs at eight, Jaylen Waddle at nine, Chris Godwin at 10, DK Metcalf at 11, and T. Higgins at 12. So you guys did hear a decent amount of differences in here. So let's do some used car sales pitches here, Fitz. Let's start out with Jaylen Waddle for your, we'll do a couple of yours first. I believe we both have four kind of disagreements here within the top 12, which makes this top tier a lot of fun in my mind. But like you said, it kind of, you know, then into the twos you could put these guys, you know, like you said, kind of down to 20-ish, 18, 19, somewhere in that neighborhood. You could see these guys kind of flipping, but you were on the Waddle train at 5. I have him at 9. Tell me why Waddle needs to be up there.
Yeah, so he just turned 24, Boggs, and he has already given us two very different types of valuable fantasy seasons. Like in year one, he was this high volume possession guy, 104 catches, 1,015 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 9.8 yards per catch, and an average depth of target of just 7.1 yards. It was sort of like early Jarvis Landry, where he was just this short area possession receiver. They were throwing to him a lot. Then Tyreek Hill comes in, and I don't know about you, but I was certainly concerned about what Tyreek Hill was going to do for CeeDee Lamb's value. And it turns out he has an even better year, not as many targets, fewer catches, 75 receptions for the year, but 1,356 yards, 8 touchdowns, a league high 18.1 yards per catch. I mean, he almost doubled his yards per catch from the previous year. And 11.8 yards for his average depth of target. So he was a very different and, you know, even more valuable player in year two. So it's interesting to try to kind of reconcile those two odd types of seasons he had and what the future is going to look like for him. But I think we've seen, whatever the role, like the talent is certainly there.
You know, I like to say a thing when I have no shares of a player, and it's zero shares. But with Jaylen Waddle this year, I had all the shares because I love Tyreek Hill, and I knew Tyreek Hill was going to make Waddle more open. You know, they're going to be rolling so much coverage, so much safety, you know, so much help towards Tyreek after he has one or two big plays initially, that Waddle's going to be getting one-on-ones to be wide open. There were so many plays this season where you saw Waddle get what we would call college open, where he finds a hole in the zone and no one is close to him. And then he just, you know, you get the ball in his hands and he is going to make a play with it. Like you said, led the league in yards per catch, just tremendous talent. I definitely have him as a wide receiver one. My only concern is, you know, Tyreek was outstanding with 1 year in this system. So how much is Tyreek going to dominate moving forward? But Waddle is a great talent. He's definitely one. And this is what I was talking about when we have a couple combos here, because we're going to go to another combo guy that you're going to talk about in just a second here. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the 2023 NFL Draft Guide at fantasypros.com/draft guide. We have player profiles, prospect mock drafts, big boards, coverage of the Senior Bowl, NFL Combine is going to be on its way. We've got you covered on all things related to the NFL draft for free. FREE premium subscribers also get access to the NFL draft position rankings. So go premium today if you haven't, and get your 2023 NFL draft guide now at fantasypros.com/draft guide. So a lot of stuff is going to be added to that. But the second guy that you're higher than me on here, Fitz, is T. Higgins, who, once again, the second half of a dominating type of receiver. Jamar Chase at 2, Higgins at 6. I have Chase at 2 and Higgins at 12. We're still, you know, within the realm of wide receiver one here. But you do have him 6 spots ahead of me. So I have to hand it over to you to tell us about T. Higgins and why you're so high on him.
Sure, Boggs. And I'll lay down the caveat that for me, there's not a lot of separation between like number 5 and number 13. You know, like 13, the guy I didn't even read off was Cooper Kupp,
who, right, you know, that's the tier we're talking about. That's why the tier goes, it goes beyond wide receiver one. But there is, I mean, you know, there is that marker at 12 that people, you know, you take that as you will, and it's hard to split between a wide receiver one and two in there. And he is a top half of wide receiver one for you, T. Higgins. So I like it. He is great.
And I think my elevator pitch can, you know, I can sneak it in before we even move 2 floors in the elevator, box. He just turned 24. He's tied to a great quarterback. And I think we now have to acknowledge that Burrow is a great quarterback.
And
T. Higgins is just really good, man. Like, you see it. He passes the eye test. I have no doubts about the talent and that he could be a wide receiver one if Ja'Marr Chase weren't around, I'm not going to let the presence of Ja'Marr Chase deter me from being in on T. Higgins.
I am 100% with you in not, well, for a couple reasons, not to, you know, and I talked about this in the offseason on stages a lot, about how you have to get out of your mind that T. Higgins is a B. He's not a B. He's a one. He's a 1A. You have Chase is one. He is a 1A. Whatever you say, he's not a B. The reason I have him a little bit lower is because he is an unrestricted free agent after this season in 2023. And look, the Bengals have a lot of cap space as it stands right now, but Burrow's on a rookie contract. Chase is on a rookie contract. They got to fix that offensive line. Still need a little bit more help on defense as well. Not saying that they can't fix most of these problems through the draft, because they've done an excellent job at drafting, obviously, any position that's not an offensive lineman recently. They've been really good with. So they can fix part of this, and they may end up paying T. Higgins. But there's a chance that they decide they want to save the money for Burrow, for Chase, to fix this offensive line, and Higgins ends up somewhere else. I mean, there are plenty of teams that need a number one wide receiver, and he would be tied to a, you know, what we see right now as a potential all-time QB in Joe Burrow. I mean, you know, he is absolutely elite at this point. He's led his team. You know, the Bengals hadn't won a playoff game since 1990 before Joe Burrow came in. I mean, with Carson Palmer starting there forever, with Andy Dalton starting there forever, they hadn't won a playoff game, and they're on the cusp of going to the Super Bowl back-to-back seasons with Joe Burrow. So I think it is safe to say that Joe Burrow is absolutely elite. My only concern with Higgins, and I still have him as a wide receiver one, is maybe the Bengals decide not to pay him. It seems silly right now, but that's a lot of money to think about when you think about Burrow and you think about Chase. And I think those guys are going to be priority one. So maybe Higgins walks, but we'll end up seeing there. The next two, I'll put them together here for you, Fitz. 9 and 10, you have Garrett Wilson at 9. I have him at 15. You have Stephon Diggs at, or excuse me, you have Chris Olave at 10. I have him at 16. But once again, for me, this comes into, you know, four through 17-ish for me, maybe 18. I'll throw Debo in there when we get to him. That's a tier, man. So I have these guys in the same tier, but you're putting them as wide receiver ones after their rookie season. Tell me why you're excited about these two guys.
Yeah, just how well they hit the ground running in their rookie seasons and pretty much establishing their credentials as future stars. And Garrett Wilson, I mean, like, I don't think I gave him enough credit coming into the draft for what he does so extraordinarily well. And he is as quick as a hiccup off the line of scrimmage, Boggs. And I mean, like, no one gets open faster than Garrett Wilson in the league. Like, he's the way he can shake guys off the line of scrimmage. I shouldn't say no one. I mean, there's some other pretty remarkable wide receivers as far as like making that first explosive step off the line and beating people that way. But, you know, his footwork is something extraordinary. And for him to catch 83 passes and have an 1,100 yard season with the quarterback situation the Jets had this year is pretty remarkable. So no doubt about Garrett Wilson's bright future. And I could say the same of Chris Olave, who had to play with Andy Dalton for most of his rookie season. And, you know, he missed two games and still had 72 catches and 1,042 yards. Fast, terrific route runner, deep speed, but can also be like, you know, more of an intermediate receiver if you need him to be. Just both of these guys, so much polish for rookies. Like they just belonged from day one. And, you know, I'm really excited about both of these guys going forward,
man. The Ohio State guys, were incredible.
Can you believe, Boggs, that they had Olave, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jackson Smith and Jigba as part of the same wide receiver core? That's just absurd. Yeah,
I mean, it's insane. They have Travion Henderson, who right now will be the number one running back in next year's draft as well. CJ Stroud's going to be a top four QB off the board at worst. Like, they are pumping out the talent at Ohio State. They got a bunch of offensive linemen that'll go early as well. So, Yeah, man. Both these guys are great. The only reason I have them below, you know, wide receiver one is the quarterback situation for both of them. And they were both amazing with garbage QB situations this year. So there's meat on the bone for these guys to rise for sure. And I believe just going what you said, like, you know, Garrett Wilson getting off the line, I believe the only wide receiver that forced more missed tackles than him was Debo. And half of that is Debo getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage and making those guys miss. So Garrett Wilson, incredible year. So did Chris Olave, both extremely talented players here. The guys that I have up here that you're a little bit lower on, my number four is Tyreek Hill. And I think this is more of a, you know, to me, this is more of a difference in how you look at dynasty, because I look at the 3-year window almost always, whether it be keeper or dynasty, you know, and the reason I do that is because I've been in, you know, in a lot of leagues that have shut down. So I want to start fast. I want to get that ring in the first couple seasons in dynasty while people are building their team. I want to take some of those vets that'll get me to a championship. I want to trade some draft picks to bring in, you know, a piece that is missing on my team. I want to make moves early just to make sure I get that ring first and I'm investing, you know, money, ring, you know, flags fly forever, however you want to say it. I want to win early to make sure that, hey, if something happens this league, I got mine. So I have a couple of these older guys higher. I have Tyreek at 4. You have him at 8. I have Cooper Kupp at 7. You have him at 13. And it's because I am looking a little bit more in a 3-year window than dynasty long term. So that is probably, I think, the difference, because in terms of talent, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, the gold standard of, if you're choosing one, stat fits, in my opinion, for a wide receiver, it would be yards per route run, because that is volume and production together. And Tyreek Hill was the only wide receiver over 3. And I believe number 2 was 2.55 in yards per route run. And he ran so many routes too. So, I mean, you're not putting Tyreek out there to block. That's like towing your boat with your Ferrari. You know, that's not something you're going to be doing. So Cooper Kupp is coming off an injury. There are questions right now with the offense, you know, specifically quarterback. Is Matt Stafford coming back? We know Sean McVay is back, so that's a big bonus in Cooper Kupp's favor. He averaged the most points per game, even though he missed a bunch of games. He's still over 22 points per game. This year is 25 last year. So he's kind of hitting his prime as well in terms of that, you know, a guy that had less production early in his career, which also means you take less hits, which means maybe you last a little bit longer on the back end. So that's why I have Hill and Kupp inside, you know, Hill at number 4 and Kupp at number 7, is because I am looking for immediate production at the very top end. And these are in redraft. These are guys that could go, you know, I mean, I don't think no one is still taking Tyreek at number 1 because of Jefferson and Chase, but I wouldn't bat an eye if someone took him number 1, because he is, I think he proved this year playing with Teddy Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson for a big chunk of games that he is absolutely QB proof. It doesn't matter who you put out there. He's catching the ball and he's going to be productive.
Yeah, I'm maybe ageist to a fault in Dynasty, Boggs. And like, that's kind of why I have Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp ranked a little lower. And you mentioned the quarterback situations being sort of uncertain for both guys. You know, and it would be, that's another concern I have with Tyreek Hill. And
it's fair.
People could say, you know, but like, I have Jalen Waddle ranked high, and you could say, well, if the quarterback situation is concerning for Hill, why wouldn't it be for Waddle? With a younger player, I'm a little less worried about it, because I feel like there's more time for Waddle to get his quarterback situation right. Like, if sure. if Tua winds up not playing football again, and, you know, certainly I don't know that that's going to be the case or what the probabilities are there, but like, there's a long window for Waddle's career. And, you know, eventually he's going to be playing with a quarterback the Dolphins or Waddle's next team feels good about. Whereas Tyreek Hill, like, he has to make his money for his dynasty owners now.
Yeah.
You know, like, Hill has to produce right away. And, you know, his managers need him to be with an effective quarterback in the next couple of years. And if the Dolphins have to start from scratch at the QB position, like, that's kind of alarming with an older player at wide receiver.
If I told you that Jimmy G was going to be the quarterback of the Dolphins for the next three seasons, where would you put Tyreek? Would you not move him that much, or would he come up a little bit for you?
Yeah,
or
down? I mean, it would be pretty kind of a lateral move. Like, I think that would be enough to sustain it. I'd much rather see him with Tua.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't hurt.
I was just thinking like league average. You know, because I think Jimmy G is pretty league average.
He would be, if they did have to move on from Waddle, that would be a good bridge quarterback to facilitate those receivers for at least a year.
I always think in terms of like prime Andy Dalton is like exactly a middling NFL QB. You know what I mean? Like maybe a little bit better than middling. Maybe I'm not giving Andy Dalton his due. Guy's been around forever, but.
And prime Andy Dalton floated some amazing AJ Green seasons.
Yeah, Chad Johnson was there for Dalton with Dalton for a little bit and Palmer. But yeah.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Houshmandzadeh. Yeah. Those old commercials. But yeah, that's why I figured I would have the older guys a little bit higher. Where I have where you have Wilson at 9 and Olave at 10, the guys that sneak into my wide receiver ones a little bit older, Chris Godwin and DK Metcalf. This is more For me, this is more about seasoning, and like everything was going wrong in Tampa Bay this year. They fired Leftwich. Tom Brady looks like he's on his last legs. Of course, we've heard this story before, but he is in his mid 40s. He's the last player in the league that's older than me. So, I feel good about that. But when he retires, all those birthdays are going to be, younger than me, Fitz. So that makes me a little depressed, but Godwin and Metcalf are guys that have established what they are over like two or three seasons. So I just know for sure that these guys are premium wideouts. That is the only reason I put them ahead of Wilson or Olave. It's not that I don't think that Wilson or Olave will be awesome. I think they both will be great. I could see them passing these guys in the next year or two. I just know for sure what I have in Godwin and Metcalf. And that made me It just made me rank them a little bit higher than those guys overall. Because both these guys could be in rough QB situations, just like Wilson and Olave might be after this season, because Brady could retire. And then are you going to Blaine Gabbert or Kyle Trask? Are you bringing in someone? Are you drafting someone? Are you trying to pay a free agent in the next couple of years? And, you know, Geno had a fantastic year for Seattle, but he is clearly not the answer long term for that team. So they could go through QB growing pains as well. I think that plane, as far as it goes for these wideouts, is kind of equal for the young guys. It's just the multiple years of great production from Godwin and Metcalf that we've seen versus one season. That's the only reason why I have those guys a little bit ranked ahead. And once again, you know, a little less ageist than Fitzy. That's all. So,
yeah. So I don't have too much of a beef with either of those guys. And in fact, I'm heavily invested in both Metcalf and Godwin in Dynasty myself. With Godwin, I think he's terrific. I wonder if we haven't already seen the ceiling with his 1300 yard, 10 touchdown season in 2020. Like basically right now, he's a more inconsistent version of Mike Evans. And like, I kind of think if he develops the way we want him to develop, he turns into Mike Evans, where he just book him for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns every season, more or less. And I know, you know, people are going to pick nits and say Mike Evans didn't have 10 touchdowns every season, but pretty darn close to it, Boggs, as you know. And, you know, like maybe as freakish as an athlete as this guy is, there is another gear there, but I don't know. I mean, Evans is a pretty freak athlete too. It's just like, I don't think DK is ever going to be the elite separator. The ball skills are great. The raw speed is great, but I just don't know if he has the route running chops to ever be the guy who's going to like catch 100 balls for you.
Right. Yeah. I don't expect that from him either. I just think that the touchdowns could become huge, and he's built so different that the shots that he takes they're not slowing him down while he takes them. So over the course of his career, while he may take, you know, it may, I think it may come to a sudden stop his career, but that middle is going to be so unbelievably productive that he is going to float in that, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two range at worst in his career. The floor is going to be very, very high for him. Like you said, not the Jefferson Chase, CeeDee Lamb, where you're not moving him into the slot. He can't move around. You're not designing all kinds of crazy routes for him or trick plays. He's never going to be a reverse guy like Debo, right? He is very specific in his role, but that role could get a lot of touchdowns. And he's only played, you know, like, if this is the same Russell Wilson that we saw him playing with last year, and then Geno Smith, just put someone real good in there and see what he does. That is what I would like to see, but we don't know. We don't know if it's going to happen.
He's at least had functional quarterbacks, though, you know? Absolutely. I mean, if he played with a star, maybe there's another gear. And just a quick word on Godwin Boggs. I guess one of my main concerns with him is that he has had some pretty pumped-up volume years. Like, Tom Brady led the NFL in pass attempts last year, and I believe this year also. Mm-hmm. There was also that 2019 season where Jameis Winston threw it over 600 times. So I think Godwin has kind of benefited from this like insanely pass heavy Buccaneers offense.
He definitely has.
And he still has not been a prolific touchdown scorer. He had a 9 touchdown season, a couple of 7 touchdown seasons, but he's one of those guys who's not going to give you those double digit touchdown seasons at all. It's just kind of not really his role.
Right.
And he's going to be 27. He's not young anymore. So
yeah.
I like him a lot. I'm just like, there are a few reservations in Dynasty about his value.
This is the guy I was, and I'm actually surprised, because my biggest concern with him is probably more of the injury stuff, you know, because he's been a little injury plagued. He had a major injury his first year in the season. So, you know, he came off this year, he was working his way back off of stuff, but he is 27, but I don't know that we've seen peak from him yet. I don't know that we've seen his best. Maybe we have, but also he's the opposite of DK, where I think there could be meat on the bone with touchdowns and stuff. I think the floor is incredibly high for Chris Godwin, because he's going to get so many targets every single year because he's always open. He is the elite separator.
Yes.
So, you know, he is just going to, his floor is going to be very high, although his ceiling may not be as high as a couple of those other guys. But we are going to get into our wide receiver twos. Before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the prop bet cheat sheet. It takes the guesswork out of finding the best bets by comparing our projections to sportsbook odds. Get an edge over the sportsbook today with our prop bet cheat sheet at bettingpros.com/props. That's bettingpros.com/props. Lots of game. You know, you got the two games going on, and then in the Super Bowl, you're going to get just a mess of props along with all your normal prop bets that you can bet. So please check out that at bettingpros.com/props. So let's go to the wide receiver twos. Fitzy, who is 13 through 24 for you?
So I've got Cooper Kupp, as mentioned before, Devonta Smith, Drake London, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, Michael Pittman is at wide receiver 18, DJ Moore, Christian Watson, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Debo Samuel, and Jahan Dotson.
For me, I've got Devontae at 13, Devontae Adams at 13, Devontae Smith at 14. Then I have Wilson Olave, as I mentioned before, Jameson Williams at 17, Debo at 18, Drake London at 19, Brandon Ayuk at 20, Michael Pittman at 21, Jerry Jeudy at 22, Marquise Brown at 23, and George Pickens at 24. We don't have as many arguments here. Let's first start by talking about Adams. You have him at 12. I have him at 13. I found him to be the most difficult player to rank, because I wouldn't mind if someone put him in the top five, even though he is older. He's still putting it together. We saw him put it together with, Derek Carr, who got canned, and Jarrett Stidham. He had good games with him. So Devontae is QB proof. He's an elite talent. He's just older than some of these guys, and he's had a lot of workload recently too. So I don't know, Fitz, you watch him a lot in Green Bay. He is 31, or he just turned 30. So he's over that hill. Was Devontae tough to rank for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got him in the right spot, Boggs. Fabulously talented. You mentioned the three-year window, and I think he's going to give you three really good years. Although, you know, it's a little concerning that they are starting anew with the quarterback situation in Las Vegas. So I think this is the spot for him, though. Like, he's too good not to produce, no matter who the quarterback is. And, you know, people were freaked out that the first week Jarrett Stidham was starting for the Raiders, and Devontae totally went off that week. So no matter who the quarterback is, it doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't even have to be Derek Carr. I think Adams is going to get his numbers.
It completely QB proof, which is just rare. You know, Hopkins, remember all those clowns that Hopkins played for in Houston before Watson came along? Osweiler was in there. TJ Yates was in, like, yes. It was bad. And Hopkins was still putting up monster 1500 yard seasons. So Devontae, same deal, you know, it doesn't matter who the QB is, as long as they throw the ball in his general direction, he's coming down with it. So, last wide receiver one for you, first wide receiver two for me, just in that range. I just want to talk about him because I found him difficult to rank. Two guys that you actually have three guys in this range. We have a couple different, but the ones that I wanted to talk about were, you've got DJ Moore at 19. I've got him at 30. I'm a little lower. Burks, you have at 22. I got him at 35. And Dotson, you have at 24. And I have at 34. I think the age stuff is probably most of Burks and Dotson for us. I'm looking more in a shorter window, even in Dynasty. DJ Moore at 19 and 30, though, I love DJ Moore. The talent is incredible. I am truly afraid of what they're doing with the coaching staff, what they're doing at quarterback for this guy, because he's incredibly talented. But I want to see him out of Carolina quick. Or I want to see them add a quarterback that's definitely going to work, because they played musical chairs the last couple of years and it hasn't. So tell me about DJ Moore, and then tell me about the young guns as well.
Yeah, so this is one. This could be a borderline argument here, Boggs. I'm kind of surprised you didn't have DJ Moore ranked higher.
You know what? And it's, when I looked at it, I think this is the one where I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to move Moore up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 1,000-yard seasons before he had turned 25 years old. Like, just this prolific production at a tender age. And that's with some woeful quarterbacking. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned the situation and how, like, you don't like the ecosystem, and I totally get it. I don't like the ecosystem either, but he's produced in some pretty, oxygen deprived ecosystems. And like, what happens when they finally get things straightened out for him? Like, the sky's the limit, or if he eventually goes somewhere else. But like, he didn't get to 1,000 yards this year. He would have with Sam Darnold. That's the weird thing. Like, he and Sam Darnold was able to make DJ Moore work. And somehow the Baker Mayfield thing just didn't work at all with DJ Moore. So entering it just his age 26 season with already this established baseline of being, you know, a near star level performer, I think he gets to the star level at some point soon, once that ecosystem finally gets straightened out.
Man, I hope he is under contract until after the 2025 season. He's not a UFA till 2026. So that's my big thing with him. I love him. You know, I was high on DJ Moore coming out of Maryland, just a supreme route runner, always open. Just, we're not getting him the ball. And then they were giving Christian McCaffrey everything. And, you know, they still ended up trading him. I hope we can get more out of here. It's just ownership down the Panthers kind of scare me. So I think Panthers overall, this is the best one by a wide margin, DJ Moore. But Panthers overall, I'm probably going to be down on, just because, like, what were they doing keeping Matt Rhule? They made Matt Rhule fire all of his assistants. I don't know. This goes into more team building stuff. But tell me about the young guns, Burks and Dotson, because I like both these guys. I couldn't push them up. We'll get to it in the next one, but I have a stack of veterans in front of these guys. So tell me about Burks and Dotson.
Yeah. I realize I'm probably a little above consensus on Treylon Burks and Jahan Dotson. And, you know, both guys, I think we saw encouraging signs from them in sort of limited roles, but not limited roles necessarily, but they both missed some time with injuries. So Dotson
definitely have not seen the best of either one of these guys yet.
Yeah. 12 games for Dotson, 11 games for Burks in their rookie years. Dotson, 7 touchdowns in 12 games, just a hair under 15 yards per catch. Everything we liked about him coming out of Penn State materialized on the field, the speed, the hands. We talked about his, you know, how for a smaller receiver, how he's just like, he's got that Tyreek Hill thing where he's so competitive for balls in the air. Like he plays much bigger than his size. So we saw a lot of that. And part of the reason he, you know, had such a nice touchdown rate in his first season. And then Burks, I mean, Bugs, he kind of reminds me a little of a discount Deebo Samuel.
Yes. Like
when you get the ball in this dude's hands and just let him do work. You know, and Deebo, I mean, like Deebo is just extraordinary in that regard. I'm not putting Burks on quite the same level as far
as being just
lethal with the ball in his hands, but he's really good with the ball in his hands. He's a big dude. He's hard to tackle. He moves well for a big dude. He's got a little bit of shimmy in the open field. Just like every time they would get the ball to him on some little quick slant, there was like a little crackle of electricity there. And, you know, I'm anxious to see more of it. He had the conditioning problems early in the like training camp, a toe injury, a concussion during the season. Like, I just want to see this guy healthy and hopefully with like some sort of functional quarterback situation. He also had to operate with, you know,
the ghost of Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Malik Willis and Josh Dobbs.
Yes, exactly. It was bleak.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I am super excited about Treylon. And you talking him up juices me up for him too, Fitzy. I want to move him up my board like this second because I can see the talent there. I am just so concerned about Willis leading this team and being the guy there. You know, I completely whiffed. I thought Willis was the number one quarterback in this class. Didn't go until the third round. I thought that was so weird. But seeing him on the field after Tannehill went down, not to say that he can't get there, but he is not anywhere close to there as it stands right now, Fitzy. So
the nice thing is, though, Boggs, they did not sink enough draft capital into him where they have to commit to him as their quarterback of the future.
Absolutely.
They can absolutely pivot and keep him around as a backup.
And they had the worst offensive line in the NFL by a wide margin last year. So that could be the main crux of this. Fix the O-line. Now Malik Willis and Derrick Henry are working together. And Burks is, you know, getting open. And let's use Burks a little more properly, like you said. Let's put him in the slot. Let's give him short routes. Let's find a way to put the ball in this dude's hands.
And
they didn't do enough of that last year, so it was frustrating to me.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, Boggs. I mean, like, in a way, the deficiencies the Titans have at quarterback and offensive line could maybe work in Burks' favor a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, at Arkansas, he was very much, and this was one of the concerns that a lot of the prospect people had with Burks coming out, that all of his touches or so many of his touches were manufactured at Arkansas.
Yeah.
They need to manufacture touches for him in Tennessee next year. Cause like, they don't have the system in place where he's going to be like some, deep average depth of target guy.
Yeah.
Operating
that guy. Yeah.
15 yards, 20 yards downfield, like get him the ball close to the line of scrimmage and let him do his thing a la Deebo Samuel.
God, I'm so excited to watch this guy this year. I mean, he is going to be great. And Dotson is a supreme talent as well. McLaurin's there. I really don't like Sam Howell. And they're saying that Sam Howell is going to get the first shot to start this year. I don't know if I wholly and completely believe that. I think that's gassing him up so he feels good in the offseason. So we'll see what happens there. But for Dotson, it's more about the QB situation than anything else there. Get that fixed. Great. But it's a year of Sam Howell, and I don't think that's going to go very well if he is the guy. So I think they might maybe back to the drawing board next year, and that can be a long process. I mean, for the Browns, it's been years. For the Jets, it's been years. You know, so hopefully they don't get stuck in that cycle of bad QBs for a while during his career. So the two guys I have on this list that I wanted to point out, Fitz, where I have Ayuk at 20, you have him at 28. I have Marquise at 23, you have him at 38. The thing with Ayuk for me is that, and we saw kind of this transition, Fitz, where up until Purdy took over, Deebo was starting to lose a lot of steam, right? He was losing a lot of steam, and Ayuk was the guy in San Francisco. Deebo was the two. Purdy comes in. The reason to me that we saw Ayuk kind of take a backseat to Deebo after Purdy came in is because Ayuk is very timing route. He's a route tactician. He's one of the best in the NFL at running his routes, you know, getting open, finding space, that kind of stuff. But it's a lot of timing based routes and things like that. And when you have a rookie quarterback, he's not going to be gassed up and timed perfectly with those wide receivers. That's something that develops with those guys, but you can kind of see it starting to come into fruition. The last game, Ayuk will look great with Purdy. I think we're going to see that going into next year. They're going to have more time. It seems like what we've heard from this organization is that Purdy is going to be the guy moving forward. Maybe they trade Trey Lance. Maybe they keep him as a backup. I don't know. These are kind of the trickles that we've heard behind the scenes. Nothing, obviously, it's been officially announced, but if they get to the NFC, you know, if they get to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, hard to put that guy out of a job. You know, he's been outstanding. So I think that's something that will develop with Purdy in the offseason and this season. And I just think in terms, I have Deebo a little bit higher than him because once again, I'm working that 3-year window. But Deebo is a guy, if they keep giving him all these rushing attempts, he is going to have a shorter than average wide receiver career in the NFL because he's just going to be taking bigger hits. Ayuk is going to be there for a while. So, you know, I think if I'm going for right now to win, I'm taking Deebo, but longer term, I want Ayuk because I think the connection is going to be there with Purdy. So that's why I like him. What are your thoughts on Ayuk moving forward?
It's funny, Boggs, that he was in the doghouse in his rookie year because it just seems like, I mean, he's developed into such an amazing all-around receiver now. Like the guy is a phenomenal blocker as a wide receiver. We saw that when he sprung Deebo for that big game.
Yeah.
Against, that long touchdown against the Seahawks and the wild card round. But yeah, like my concern is that we are going to be looking at Ayuk as like a better real life player than fantasy player, maybe for the early mm-hmm. stages of his career. Just because of the amount of talent surrounding him, you know, McCaffrey, Deebo, Kittle, you know, who says they're done adding to the wide receiver room. Like, I just worry about that he's maybe never going to get the target volume that he deserves. And they, you know, this is another team that's going to have to make sure they get the quarterback situation straight. It's working with Purdy right now.
Right.
And I personally think it's going to be Trey Lance next year. And I like Lance. But they do have to like figure out which way they're going at quarterback. Do they have, you know,
kind of doesn't matter. I mean, they all work.
So it might not.
Yes. So they've all worked and they're all, you know, seemingly premium. It's frustrating to me that Kenny Pickett and Brock Purdy are basically the same guy. And one went in the first round and the other was the last pick in the draft. But
Boggs, let's get to our argument because I want to argue about Marquise Brown.
Oh, yeah. Marquise Brown, I have a 23. You got him at 38. This was, I think, the biggest difference that we have here. And Fitz, I mean, for me, this is a guy that's going to be in a new offensive system. They want to trade DeAndre Hopkins. This is a clear number one. I'm excited to see him out of Baltimore, right? Because they don't throw the ball enough in Baltimore. He got hurt this year. He was banged up, didn't really develop. There was a lot of issues with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray this year. So I think hitting the reset button, but with a decent quarterback that is willing to throw the ball downfield is going to be huge for him, especially getting Hopkins out of there and having this guy be the number one wideout now. So I see a lot of upside for Marquise. In this new system, whoever the quarterback whoever the offensive coordinator head coach should be, I think that this is a positive move for him because we're getting away from Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, I do not like. So I think this is all going to be positive for him if they do trade Hopkins and bring someone else in. And I don't think we've really hit the peak of what he is yet because of the systems that he's been in. So that is why I'm huge. And this is me, a Texas Longhorns fan,
Oklahoma
talking up
guy,
the Sooner who was a Raven. So, you know, I'm fairly impartial on this. I want to hate this guy, but he's really good, man. So I'm excited to see what he can do in an actual system that is good for a quarterback and not a college system or a run first system like he was in Baltimore.
I was definitely surprised to see him that high on your list, a former Sooner. so I'm definitely a little worried about the body type. You know, like he's in a huddle with next to those offensive linemen, and it looks like, you know, my son and his high school sophomore friends being in an NFL huddle, you know. And actually, I think some of my son's friends are bigger than Marquise. he's got a career average, Bugs, of 7.2 yards per catch. I know you talked about yards per route run. This is yards per target, which I think, you know, also pretty good stat. Like, that's not a good number. And, like, the hope I think we would have for Marquise Brown is that he can become DeSean Jackson, who, you know, similarly built, similarly fast and explosive. But DeSean Jackson averaged 9.8 yards per target for his career. Like, that's an exceptional number. And even at the height of his powers, Boggs, people who've played fantasy for a long time will know what I'm talking about. DeSean Jackson was streaky as all get out. And like, I wonder if that's going to be Marquise. There have been times, I mean, there was that game against the Lions when he was with the Ravens where he could have had like, there was like a 300 yard, four touchdown day for the taking. And he let like some easy balls clang off his hands, like some big gainers. It just seems like there's something missing there. I don't love the body type. I think, you know, banged up could be a perpetual state with him, you know, playing at that size. I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of weird to me, Boggs, that you would rather have Marquise Brown on your Dynasty League team than DJ Moore. Like, I can't wrap my head around that.
Look, I get it. My thing is, I still do not think we've seen the best from Marquise. I don't think we've come anywhere close to it, to be honest with you. And, you know, I thought, okay, hey, look, let's put him in Arizona. Let's get him a number one wide receiver like Hopkins next to him, and let's see what we've got here. Maybe this will actually make this system work at the NFL level. It didn't. He was hurt. There were issues with, you know, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury last year. So, like I said, you know, the Baltimore stuff, the ADOT, the average depth of target, the you know, average catch, all that stuff. I mean, that is an offensive system designed for short routes. You know, they didn't want Lamar throwing the ball downfield because they didn't want him turning the ball over. It was grind, you know, keep the defense on the sideline, grind it out. So it kind of, he was there more to me as a decoy than anything else. He hasn't been a premium tons of target guy in the NFL yet. And I think he's going to get his shot this year. So you don't have to take him here. Most likely, like you said before, a couple other the guys, I'm going to be much higher than consensus on Marquise. I think DJ Moore is the better fantasy wide receiver in most cases right now, but bad quarterback. I know we, you know, Kyler Murray is going to be coming off surgery, but we have Kyler Murray moving forward with Marquise Brown. I just think he's going to get so much better in a real NFL offense. You know, he was a decoy in Baltimore. It was gadgety and too weird and dumb in Arizona last season. So I don't think we've hit we scratched the surface with him yet and gotten a complete season out of him. So I'm excited to see that. Look, this is kind of a make or break year though. You know, he can plummet in my rankings if we don't get there, but I am going to be pretty high on him because he is going to be a number one finally in a real offense for the first time in his career at 26 this year. I am excited about him. Moving forward here, Fitz, let's burn through the top 36. Give me 25 down to 36. I will too, and we'll talk about any stragglers that we haven't gotten to yet.
So I'm one spot lower than you and your guy, George Pickens, at 25.
I purposefully did that, by the way. I also had him at 25. I moved him one spot ahead just so I'd be ahead of you. So
I've got Terry McLaurin, 26, Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Ayuk, Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Gabriel Davis, and Mike Williams.
For me, I've got Christian Watson at 25. I've got Juju at 26, Terry McLaurin at 27, Darnell Mooney at 28, Deontay Johnson at 29, then DJ Moore, as I mentioned before, Gabe Davis, 31, Hopkins at 32, Keenan Allen at 33, Dotson 34, Burks 35, and Mike Evans at 36. So to me, this tier is kind of like we have a couple of vets, you know, Juju, McLaurin, Deontay, that are kind of in the middle of their career. Then we have some old guys and young guys in here. It's Hopkins and Keenan, and then Dotson and Burks and Mike Evans, you know, kind of seems the same way for you a little bit. I have one guy that's not in your list. So do you. Your guy is Kirk. You have him at 29. I have him at 38. I have Mooney at 28. You have him at 39. So tell me what it is you like about Kirk moving forward before we jump to some stragglers at the end here.
Yeah, so he's coming off his best season, 84 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's playing with a young franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. I know they're going to add Ridley next year, which makes the target picture a little more complicated. You know, maybe Zay Jones is back. Maybe they re-sign Evan Engram. So, you know, that could stretch the target picture for him a little bit. But Kirk came into the league very young. So even though he's on that second contract, and oh, what a hefty contract it was, Boggs, he just turned 26. So he is, you know, entering the prime of his career right now. And, you know, you have to love that the Jaguars have the quarterback thing right, and that the Kirk Lawrence pairing is going to be together for a while.
The chemistry is there. It absolutely is. Like you said, though, first of all, I think they want another running back there. Because Travis Etienne did everything. They didn't like throwing him the ball. Maybe they get a pass catching running back, you know, to pair with him, which seems strange to me because Etienne, I mean, when Urban Meyer drafted him, you know, not that we're going off of anything Urban Meyer ever says being a good idea, but they were talking about moving him to wide receiver. So I was a little surprised Etienne didn't get more targets last year, which I think will either improve or they'll bring someone in for that role. And they're adding Calvin Ridley. And Evan Engram was so good, it feels like they almost have to re-sign him. It's an offense with a ton of pieces. That's what makes me a little bit lower. Not necessarily talent. Talent is amazing. He was great with Lawrence this year, too. Really, that back end of the year, they really started to click. So there's meat on the bone there. I'm just not as high as you. And look, I mean, if I am going to be a hater here, guy's an Aggie. Can't really like the Aggies. Come on. You know, so, but my guy, Darnell Mooney, I'm a little surprised that you didn't have him higher, because like every single underlying number says this guy should be a star. The problem to me, and I think it's also going to be the issue with you, is Justin Fields. Is Justin Fields going to be a quarterback that we need to design a Lamar system, you know, around? Do we have to kind of limit things and make this offense different and specific for him? Or are they going to let him throw the ball down the field? And if they are, Mooney's going to be probably even higher than I have him. He'll move up a lot of boards for sure, but it's a big question right now. What is Fields? And I think that's what makes Mooney the toughest to rank. Can't imagine you're very different than me on that.
Yeah, and we did see Justin Fields throw some beautiful rainbows to Chris Olave in Columbus, Ohio, Boggs. So, yeah. Like, we know he's capable of that. And I really like the player, Darnell Mooney. Just, like, very terrific with the deep balls and, like, surprisingly tough and feisty for a smaller receiver. Like, he'll break tackles and, like, you know, fight with guys at the catch point. Like,
yeah.
I like a lot about him, but Dave Kluge of Football Guys just brought this up on my show, and Dave is a Bears fan. The Bears are probably not done adding to their wide receiver room. Like, it's going to be, you know, Mooney is the two and probably Claypool is the number three, but maybe they find that number one in this year's draft with a Quentin Johnston or a Jackson Smith and Jigba. And, you know, then maybe Mooney slots in as the number two. And he's going to be the number two on what's most likely going to be one of the run heavier teams in the league. So I just worry that the ceiling might not be that spectacular, even though I really love Mooney, good young player, you know, would be happy to have him on any of my dynasty teams and probably need to get him on at least one, because I don't think I have him anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you need to throw a dart, I think, at least if you have multiple teams on him. And the reason I don't think that they'll add to this room is because they have so many other needs. I mean, they traded away Roquan, they traded away Quinn and Mack and all of those defensive pieces, and they traded away the first pick in the second round to get Claypool.
I know.
So
the free agent group of wide receivers stinks, Boggs, but the Bears do have a ton of money to spend in free agency. So they might, you know,
that's true.
I don't know if there are any pure number ones out there. It's guys like Juju, Alan Lazard. But I think they're going to add something. Yeah. Maybe they don't add a first round receiver, but I think they're going to bring in more bodies.
Well, they might add those pieces on defense through free agency because there'd be better options for them to do that.
True.
So they might add those guys through free agency. But I mean, Roquan throwing them under the bus is going to make it hard to sign free agents too, which is a little strange, but I don't know. It's I knew you wouldn't pass up a chance to crap on the Bears a little. So I figure we had to talk about Darnell Mooney. We're bumping up against it here, Fitz. So we're different on Lazard. I have him at 44. You have him at 61. I guess you saw enough of him in Green Bay. Just don't like him that much.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's a complimentary piece, and now he's going to be playing with someone other than Aaron Rodgers, and he's getting a little older.
I think he's going to get a contract that's bigger than we expect because the class is bad. The free agent class is bad, and someone's going to depend on him and he'll get a bunch of targets. So that's kind of why I have him in there, that wide receiver four range. You're higher on DPJ than I am. We kind of have these guys reversed. I do think DPJ talent wise might be a little bit better, but it's Cooper is one. And this is a team that I think will absolutely draft a wide receiver that could pass DPJ on the depth chart.
Yeah, this is an about face for me. I hated Donovan Peoples-Jones as a prospect, but he is big and fast, and like he showed that he can be, a reasonably decent possession receiver in the NFL. And I think Deshaun Watson will have a better year next year.
Anyone else that you wanted to talk about? I mean, Juju is tough until he signs. That's a tough one. Elijah Moore, you know, was a huge. He was very high in dynasty rankings this time last year. And he obviously had a big fight with the Jets. They got Garrett Wilson in there, had a big fight. I found him as another guy that was very difficult to rank.
Yeah. And yet we've got him like within a spot of each other. You've got him wide receiver 39. I've got him wide receiver 40. And yeah, I mean, the thing is like, that is, I don't like to rank guys too much based on their teammates, but this is one where now with Garrett Wilson there, it's like there's no question who the number one wide receiver is in New York. And, you know, I think Elijah Moore is going to have to find his way and live with a reduced target load from who knows what kind of quarterback.
Yeah, it's a lot of these guys, like I said, we're splitting hairs, and then there's talent without talent around them. Elijah Moore is one of those guys. He doesn't have the quarterback to go with him. And then there's guys that are not as talented, but they have a good quarterback, like Mecole Hardman, who I found it difficult to rank too, because he had such a big year. I would love to see him another year. Like if Juju is gone, I'd love to see him in that spot in Kansas City that Sky Moore didn't take, that no wide receiver really stepped up and took the role. Kadarius Toney could be in there as well. So there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of moving pieces in the wide receivers.
Yeah. Before we get out, Boggs, I mean, it's funny. We can talk about the curse of the Tyreek Hill curse in Kansas City with any speed receiver who comes in after him. Like, yes. You know, Hardman is not panned out. Sky Moore has thus far been, you know, his rookie year was not what we hoped it would be. I have this guy ranked wide receiver 42, Boggs. You did not put him in your top 48. Kadarius Toney. Talk to me about him.
Yeah, I have Kadarius Toney a little bit outside of that. I have him at 52, so I have him four spots off. But I have Sky Moore a little bit ahead of him. I have Hardman a little bit ahead of him. It's one of those three guys. That's going to be if they don't re-sign Juju, that's going to be the battle this year, is what camp are you in? Are you in the Toney, the Hardman, camp here? Or Sky Moore, I guess you could still throw him in there because he is super talented, but it's only one football and it's going to Travis Kelce first. We know that.
Yeah.
And then if they get a decent running back in here, you know, what if they moved up to get Bijan? It wouldn't be that crazy. Now does the third wide receiver, does the third option on offense even matter when you have Bijan and Kelce? So these are interesting things, and we will obviously throughout the offseason be going much deeper on the wide receiver class moving forward. We're kind of laying a base with this preview series right now. And look, if you guys want to have a continued conversation about these wide receivers with me, check out the Fantasy Pros Discord. I will be over there every single Friday at 4, and after the Super Bowl is over, guess who's going to be joining me on those Friday stages on Discord? Pat is going to be joining me. We're going to probably be recording those to place on the feed as a podcast as well. So just, look forward for that. If you're a premium member, these things are great. You get to talk with us. It's kind of like a radio show where you guys are calling in, and it's easy to figure out, and it's always a fun time. So please check that out as well. Fitz, what do you got coming up moving forward here?
Oh man, I'm actually digging into baseball blogs. I'm doing some baseball articles, but yeah. So, and a lot of stuff with betting pros right now. You know, working on previewing the conference championships.
Yeah. Lots still going on. Baseball moving forward. I'm finishing up my rankings as well. I'll be dropping those in the aggregate for the ECR for Fantasy Pros. So you'll start seeing thumbs up and thumbs down on my baseball drafts as well, when you're looking at the Draft Wizard and that kind of stuff, and more football. We're going to have a lot of it for you. Draft Guide obviously happening right now as well. We got the Senior Bowl coming up. We're going to have all kinds of coverage for you guys. So just stick with us at Bogman Sports for me, at Fitz_FF for Fitzy. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.